You replay the orientation holo video over and over again in your head, recalling how strange and important it seemed. You remember how scared the messy gnomish scientist in the video seemed as he stares out through a window into space, his eyes tired and wide. That gnome is Professor Orrin Talfo Gogglefogger, an inventor who claims to have a solution to the Verse's biggest problem. Once more, you recall the contents of the video, its every little detail. Professor Orrin fiddles with his rolled-up sleeves, lights up a space cigarette, and begins to turn to look directly at the holocam. He speaks with a hint of knowing sadness in his voice. "That's me, spacers, and I am in a lot of trouble. It's not your fault this is happening, not entirely. Maybe you will save my life. I hope. No, now's not the time. Listen, you have to understand, the Talfo Matrix, my prototype, is going to change everything. We will be able to travel into dead magic zones with dark matter ships. We'll be able to colonize unexplored planets using magic. We will rewrite interstellar boundaries. Thing about it is, change is terrifying, exciting. The possibilities and the impossible, it brings out the best and the worst in people. You'll see what I mean soon enough." And then the holo video ends, with the professor putting out his half-smoked cigarette and reaching a shaking hand to turn off the camera. And now I would like to go around and do some introductions. So prior to this job, you've all been paid a sizable amount of credits to essentially protect Professor Talfo Gogglefogger, 250 credits in advance with a promise of a bonus if you protect him while he's giving his presentation in public at Port Nomad, a relatively seedy spaceport, kind of on the edges of the Verse. But his first introduction, though, as he greets all of you, is, "This is Mr. Ganondroid. He's an asset I got on the market for cheap, a decommissioned defense droid recovered from a failed rebellion. But don't worry, I reprogrammed it. A few reverse multiplier hexes on the moral and ethics motherboards, and it's been running good as new." He slaps the hood. "Isn't that right, champ?"
These constant nicknames like champ and chief make me seethe with an unparalleled sense of unity and brotherhood. I've thoroughly enjoyed our time together in this conquest to rediscover the Triforce.
I forgot to mention this fun feature. He calls the Talfo Matrix the Triforce. It's a hardcore variable. Long story. You're just going to have to go along with it. All right. Great. That should be more than sufficient explanation and safety protocols to cover your various contractual agreements. Have fun with the Ganondroid. Try to bring him back in one piece. And, you know, try to save me in the process. And now, looking to the other characters, we will go down the line here. And we'll start with Kevin. That's weird.
Yeah, it's super weird. Okay, I am Kevin Kilroy. I am playing Tarius. Tarius is a void domain cleric. Tarius is a medium build humanoid. What's interesting about Tarius is he's always in his life suit, right? So he's got this form-fitting life suit with a close helmet, and the visor of the helmet is always darkened. So he can see out, but you can't see into it. It looks like the best I could come up with is I Googled spacesuits, and it's like the SpaceX Dragon spacesuit is kind of what that looks like. And then over that, he wears what can only be described as like a tactical lab coat, like a doctor's. So it's the white lab coat, but it's made out of like a thicker composite material with kind of like plates on it. And then he carries like what would be like a futuristic doctor bag.
Awesome. Thank you. And how about Alex?
Yeah, Alex Langston. I'm playing Ganondroid, who is a android. A circle of configuration druid, which means I can wild shape into a construct. My construct form is going to be modeled after the Guardian from Breath of the Wild. So it's basically like a Breath of the Wild shape. Pretty excited. So Ganon Droid was initially basically himself, but as a droid, lost a battle in a far galaxy to Link Droid or something. Lay dormant for a long time, was mined up and just sold as a scrap droid. And he's had some mental modifications to turn him from super evil now to super lawful. But some of his old habits might have remained dormant. We'll see.
Okay. Let's see. Next up is Chris.
My name is Chris Dawson. I'll be playing Jeff Scranton, a drone jockey gnome. So small creature, unless I'm in my suit, in which case I look reasonably sized. I carry around a couple of drones that help me out in all of my situations that attach to my exoskeleton. I am just trying to make some scratch getting by. Just was able to hop off my old planet, which was basically the system's landfill, scrapped some parts together and was able to make it off world. And now I'm just trying to scrape by.
Awesome. Thank you, Jeff, Ezekiel slash Zeke, as he's sometimes known as.
So people, Jeff, usually don't see him outside of his suit. He's very comfortable in it. I'm not sure many people do know what he really looks like.
What kind of suit? What do you mean?
It's like like on Avatar, the movie?
Yes.
With the or the third Matrix. I like that suit better.
Okay.
Understood. Okay. So we're fighting the like floating octopuses.
Sure. Yeah, very cool. Awesome. What about Jeff? What does Jeff look like?
You're not sure.
All right, cool. Figure it out.
Okay. Jeff's our appearance as a seeker behind the armor he wears. Interesting. Okay, next up is Brian.
So I'm Brian Sicky. I'm playing a orc barbarian named Cog. He is a large, imposing creature. Well, he's a medium creature, but he's a massive creature. Not ripped like some, but just like a large belly and just huge arms, tree trunks for legs. He only wears just kind of like padded leggings and leaves his big belly hanging out there. He's got a kind of a long beard braided in like the dwarven fashion. After the wars, his clan and family went to live with the dwarves. They took him in, and so he's been kind of living with them. So he's got a lot of mannerisms and features similar to them. And he carries around a big rocket hammer he uses to not only fix things when needed, but also to defend and let loose his rage.
I'm sure we'll be seeing plenty of that rocket hammer. Not too long. Okay. Let's see. Keenan.
My name is Keenan Langston. I'm playing Icarus, who is a Nautilid star warlock. As a Nautilid, he's a fish-looking creature. But to survive and move around, he wears essentially a reverse scuba suit. So it's this hulking, largely metallic spacesuit, and it's filled with special kind of liquid from my home planet that allows me to breathe more easily than I can in normal water or in air, although I can survive in both. And I'm just traveling the stars trying to find a new home planet since the planet my race came from was destroyed by its sun.
Okay. Thank you for that. And last but not least, Steve.
I'm Steve Markwell. I am playing F, who is an amoeboid. He's an interpreter and more interested in the variety of life and various creatures around the known universe. He found no interest living on moss stations and staring blankly into the void. He found that very monotone and boring. And so instead, he wanted to go around and meet various creatures and see the variety of life in the discovered universe. He's a bard, but mostly acts as an interpreter and sort of a liaison between different creatures. And being a shapeshifter, he also shifts in and out of mannerisms and personalities to try to match those around him.
Excellent. Okay, and that is our party. Very interested to see with that diverse cast of characters, actually how this initial act starts out. So that should be pretty interesting. I myself am Jonathan Wittergren at Force Inept. We will be posting on Twitter and all the social medias and all that stuff once we figure all that out. But hope you enjoy. So that was several weeks ago. You've traveled across the verse and now find yourselves in the Star Swill Bar, a seedy joint in Port Nomad. At one end of the bar is a dimly lit, empty marble stage with a piano set up against its back wall. The bar is populated, but not overly crowded, with a variety of individuals from many different races and cultures gathered to witness the presentation that they've been invited to. In front of the stage are a row of seats that have been set up specifically for the presentation. Beyond the seats are a row of dark booths, some more poorly lit and perfect for a whispered conversation. Several round tables are set out between the stage area and the bar itself, where a few people are sitting and drinking, some taking the opportunity to gamble their credits away. The bar of the Star Swill is a long metal top with many stools. Behind it, several human bartenders work hard to keep up with the demands of the clientele. Beside the bar is a large window looking out into the vastness of outer space. So, where are you guys kind of positioned in the bar? Are you all together? Are you spread out? And are you going to be looking around, talking to anybody in particular, partaking in drinks, or waiting for the presentation? Kind of, what are your characters doing?
So, just real quick for a clarification, is Gogglefogger here with us?
Yes, you actually spot him in a large well-lit booth, one of the few well-lit booths. Professor Oren is currently seated, and it looks like he's going over his notes feverishly, preparing for his speech, you assume. There are two other gnomes with him that you guys actually recognize as his assistants who actually hired you.
So I'll have a mug of space ale, I guess, and I'll be kind of near, probably by the bar, but like facing him and near enough to him where if something happens, I can jump in, but kind of just off to the side, just looking around and
okay,
sipping on my space ale.
So going up to the bar and ordering a drink, you're served fairly quickly considering kind of how busy this bar is, which you presume is probably not normally ever busy at all in this kind of seedy place. You see a tall Avia Ra in an intimidating crimson plate armor. He's leaning over the corner of the bar, keeping an eye on the room, you can tell. At the far end of the bar is also an elven noblewoman with large silver discs for eyes, who is wearing an elaborate and colorful gown full of sharp angles. She is drinking a brilliant blue fizzing cocktail, smiling and watching anybody that comes near to her. The Avia Ra you actually recognize as Sir Helio Horus. He is the chief of security for Port Nomad. You guys have previously found out that that's actually part of the reason why Professor Oren wanted to come to this bar in particular, because he was a respected security officer, and while seedy, it's a bit safer with him around. So, Cog, you saw the Avia Ra or Helio Horus, who you recognize, and then the elven noblewoman at the end of the bar. As you're getting your drink.
And what is the bartender? It's probably Jake and Axel.
Actually, hold it. I'll have what she's having.
And he points to the blue sparkly drink.
Glances over and sees it and then looks back at you, but more so like at your chest, then looks up and right away, sir. And he takes it back and you see him mixing a bunch of concoctions and fuzzes coming out and everything like that. And that will take him a couple minutes actually to make for you. So what is everybody else doing?
Ganon Droid is going to keep an eye on the entrances, looking out for easy suspects.
Only one entrance to this bar. So it's kind of near the bar. So it's a pretty close spot to Sir Helio Horus. So you pretty much have that one entry, one exit. You got a pretty good eye on the whole bar as far as being able to see any sudden movement or anything like that suspicious. Let's see. I will say in the bar, Icarus, you notice pretty much immediately near a large window, a Nautilid who is wearing obviously the specialized suit with a large rocket hammer strapped to her side is staring out at the asteroid field beyond. With the distance, you can't see the expression. Also, partially because of the fluid-filled helmet, it's kind of unreadable. Actually, while we're doing that, F, you also notice a lone amoeboid sitting in an otherwise unoccupied row of seats, just seemingly waiting politely for the presentation to start. Those are probably the more call-out ones.
I'm familiar with.
That's racist, I think. Yeah. From a distance, you don't know, but you're welcome to go up and have a conversation.
Go up to the Nautilid and say it was a good idea to put the fish tank by the window.
Okay. This isn't going to translate well because we're all laughing while we're muted.
I know.
So he makes a joke and we can all see each other laughing, but it's muted, so that's not going to carry on the audio.
That's unmute to point. Laugh.
It's going to be like a sitcom without the laugh track.
Yeah.
So like he makes the joke and then it sounds like we're all just like, well, that's a real dumb joke.
We'll have that in post.
We'll have a laugh track in post. Yeah.
Oh god, this is going to be terrible.
Okay, what's everybody doing?
I'm just fiddling with my nuclear collector and waiting for this tip agency contract to finish.
Where are you waiting? Fiddling with your, what was it? Nuclear collector?
Don't worry about it. It'd take too long to explain. Just sitting at a bench top.
Okay.
Got my leg up, working on it.
Sounds pretty simple to me, dude.
So let's say you're at a tabletop. I'll say you are immediately drawn to the gaming table next to you. It's a little bit of a ruckus over there. You see a beautiful human woman wearing a red dress playing cards with an older, grumpy-faced dwarf who's wearing a well-stocked tool belt around his large waist.
So we're in the Matrix now. The woman with the red dress is distracting everyone.
Well, at the moment, it's just distracting Jeff.
Gotcha. Do I got enough clips to join the game? My spare pocket? I suppose I do.
You want to walk up and like play some?
I don't. Sure. Okay. Like I said, I'm just waiting for this contract to expire, man.
Okay, so walking up to the table, sitting at the gaming table is a tall, stunning human woman whose carefree laughter cuts through the din of the noisy bar. On the other side of the table sits a squat and miserable-looking old dwarf, with a scowling expression that suggests he just lost another hand of cards. The woman is wearing a red dress that leaves little to the imagination and certainly nowhere to hide a weapon. A moment later, the dwarf's scowl fades. He cracks a toothy grin and rumbles, "Another hand, then? Odds are I gotta win sometime, and I ain't entirely broke just yet." He pulls straight his jacket and reaches into a pouch at his side. It's then that you see, half concealed beneath his jacket, that he's wearing a very strange-looking pistol on his hip. He doesn't grab for the pistol, however, and instead pulls out a precious green gem that sparkles in the light. He sets the gem down onto the table and begins to shuffle his deck of cards. So are you...
I suppose that wouldn't surprise me much where I came from. Everyone's packing.
Yeah, fair enough. So you're going to walk up and try to join?
Yeah.
Do you just walk up silently? Do you say anything?
I just put money on the table. Say, deal them up.
The dwarf...
Cannon shall observe.
Okay, so Gandroid walks over. The dwarf just gives you a kind of stare of what are you doing, kind of coming from his expression. The woman just kind of laughs and says, "Oh, Cirdan, it's fine. Everybody's welcome here. Here, come take a seat. We'll gladly play. It's just for fun, of course." As you notice, she has a stack of credits at her side of the table. Credits. Oh, okay. Money. At her side of the table. And she introduces herself. "My name's Carmen Kane. What brings you to this establishment?"
"I just got dragged here on a contract, waiting for it to wrap up."
"Oh, what type of contract?" Cirdan grumbles. "Are we here to talk, or are we going to be playing cards?"
"Well, I put money on the table, but doesn't mean we can't do both."
"Damn.
Okay, then.
Why are you so grumpy?" And,
did you say that to him?
Yeah.
Okay. he kind of looks taken aback as far as old grumpy dwarf. Not many people would just see that kind of emotion from him and then address him so directly. And, "Well, this is my bar. I come here. I bet my money, my hard-earned money from the spaceport. And all of a sudden, there's some little gnomish guy out here presenting some newfangled technology. And all of a sudden, Star Swill's popular again. I mean..." And he kind of looks at Carmen. "No offense, I'm glad to have the company of some of you, but this just isn't a big deal. It's some new technology. Who cares? It's not like it's going to change the verse."
"Yeah, ain't sure. I don't really care."
Carmen kind of laughs off Cirdan and introduces him for you. This is Cirdan Blackforge. He's really quite nice once you get to know him, and if he still has money, I should say. So what was your contract exactly?" As she kind of inquires a little bit more to get a little more detail out of you.
"I think I'm supposed to be protecting somebody, but I haven't seen much of anything going on around here."
She laughs. "Well, if you're protecting somebody, shouldn't you know who you're protecting?"
"It doesn't matter. Check already came through."
"Well, I can only assume you're here for the professor." She kind of glances over and she says, "Well, the Galactic Bank is over there, and clearly they've sprung for their own protection with Tiberius What's-His-Face. But I'm just very excited. I love science, and I'm very excited for Professor's presentation. I'm sure he'll put on a great show."
"Yeah, it seems exciting. Maybe I can incorporate it into my suit."
She just kind of looks quizzically at you and kind of goes back to the hand that Cirdan has now shuffled out. So breaking away from that, Cog, you now have your blue fizzy drink at this point. What is everybody else doing?
Tarius is sitting near Gogglefogger. His role on this whole thing is kind of the medic. So if something does go down and Gogglefogger is hurt or somebody is hurt that Gogglefogger wants me to, you know, take care of. That's kind of my background, is more of like a merc medic. And so he's there. He looks like he's just kind of keeping an eye on Gogglefogger, but you mentioned Galactic Bank, and so he is trying to gather as much information on the group from the Galactic Bank as possible. So I would like to try and make the first roll of the game. I would like to make a perception check and see what I can gather about the Galactic Bank group.
Perfect.
All right, here we go. First roll. It's for sure going to be a one. 18 plus 5, 23.
Okay, yeah. So you're kind of walking around the bar to kind of just make sure everything's looking good. You know, you're kind of board wing for the presentation, just making sure everything's going well. You see Jeff over the table, naturally trying to either bet his money away that he just got paid or hit on this human woman. You're not quite sure yet. But you do overhear her speaking and mention the Galactic Bank and nod towards a table where she mentioned Tiberius. What's his name? I believe she said. Looking over, you see a heavily armed half-orc that stands guard next to a large booth, who is eyeing basically the entire bar somehow all at once, but doesn't seem like there's much concern. A haze of smoke hangs over the booth, rising from an ashtray full of snub space cigarettes that stink of burnt herbs and licorice. A sandy-haired halfling in a white suit takes out another cigarette from an inner jacket pocket. His hands shake nervously as he fumbles for his lighter. You overhear, How can you have lost it already? The female halfling sitting across from him snaps. The two look like they could be brother and sister. It's here. I know it is. Sorry, Kiri. I think there must be a hole in the seat. The nervous halfling squeaks out, then pulls up a tuft of gray gauzy foam from underneath him. With a sharp click, a buzzing neon lighter ignites and is gently extended across the table by a third halfling, older than the other two, and wearing a dark suit. He lights the nervous halfling's cigarette, slides his lighter back into his suit pocket, then looks up to you and smiles. Despite a soft roundness to his face, there's something a little sinister about that smile. And he looks directly at you. And care to take a seat?
No, thanks. Just walking by.
And Tarius just kind of keeps going. And I would like to try and position myself somewhere in the bar, I guess, that's closer to Gogglefogger and more inconspicuous. And I'd like to take something like a data pad out of my bag and make it look like I'm doing that. But I'm wearing a space suit with a blacked out visor. So I can kind of look around, but you can't see where my
right.
eyes are looking. Well, so it can look like
inconspicuous.
Right. Exactly. And so I'd like to do that. And I'd like to get as close as I feel like I can to this group and hear them out and hear what they're saying. As I walk away from their table and I pass back by the card game playing, with my 23 perception, can I tell if the woman is cheating?
She does not appear to be cheating. No.
Okay. Okay. Mm. Okay. So I go back and do that, and I'm just going to try and gather as much intel as I can on the Galactic Bank.
Okay. Yeah, you take up a position basically a booth further than the professor, so you can kind of see professor and his assistants in the booth, and then two booths down in the more darkly lit booth. You see the three halflings and then the half-orc standing menacingly kind of at their booth guarding them.
Okay. So would it be inappropriate for me to sit with Oren or?
No, that's fine.
Okay. I think I sit down at their table, kind of like at the edge of the booth with my back to where the Galactic Bank guys are, and just make it look like I'm actually no. How about instead of, you know, like, so there's a booth and then there are like tables. I'll sit at a table next to their booth, but like give them a little bit of space with my like facing them, but also like out of my peripheral, the Galactic Bank.
Okay. Perfect.
So that's what I want to do. And just pull out, he's got his data pad out with, you know, the news on it or whatever, but not paying attention to it. He's totally paying attention to the Galactic Bank guys.
Okay. Sounds good. And what is everybody else doing? How about F?
So with the like appearance of the amoeboids being sort of like these amorphous blobs that have their like organs and whatnot just floating in the ooze, and their like nerves and stuff emit blue light, and they have like these little green eye spots, I assume that like most of their basic greeting and communication is going to be more body language than like a verbal language. Like amoeboid is a language, but I would think that like there's probably some sort of gesture he can do from across the room, like spin his
the eye spots,
a little Kirby wave.
The amoeboid in question is fiddling away at a data pad. He is in the front row of the seats. He is the only one in the actual open seating, fiddling away at the data pad in front of him. So he wouldn't probably just see you across the bar. He seems fairly preoccupied.
He's got 5 eye spots. He can't use one of them to see me across the room.
He is preoccupied with the data pad. You're welcome to go up and talk to him, though.
Yeah, I will sort of make my wiggly, squishy way across to where he's at. And, after trying to get his attention, like, the whole way over, being like, hey.
The three rows of chairs that make up the audience seating area near the stage are an unmatched lot, obviously brought out just for this event. The stage itself has been mopped clean and its piano rolled to the back. A small table is set out in the center of the stage, and a hollow screen on the back wall of the stage flickers with displays of vintage spacecrafts, famous star systems, and a docking schedule for cargo and transport vessels. Seated alone in the audience is a vaguely humanoid-shaped individual known as an amoeboid, as we mentioned. As you said, their form is blue and translucent. Their large black eye spots are framed by delicate eyelashes. They've dressed in a glittering gray robe with 2 well-worn grenade belts strapped across their midsection. In the amoeboid's lap rests a data pad, which he's fumbling away at. The air around them is chilled, significantly colder than elsewhere in the bar. Walking up, I don't have a voice for him. The amoeboid looks up to you and, "Hello there." I'm not sure why that he's going to sound like that, but he's going to sound like that. Hello there, what brings you to Starswell? Are you here for science as well?
Science of a type, yes sir. What brings you away from the void? And then I'm assuming that like since they're sort of amorphous, that he would like turn his hand basically into the sign of the F as like, this is who I am.
Okay. The amoeboid responds with a similar symbol that I don't know how to describe, and introduces himself as Ember, in the more common tongue. Well, it was just a wonderful fluke of probability, that my rest stop at Port Nomad here coincided with the professor's speech. I, to be honest, don't have an official invitation, but, so far no one seems to have protested, so I figured I would take advantage of this, great opportunity to listen to some traveled people talk about science and what could happen in the verse.
Ah, I see you are less fascinated with the void, just like myself.
Oh, yes. The science is fantastic and all. Truth be told, Port Nomad has been far better for people watching, as I've taken copious notes on all the different characters around here that just entertain me so.
Aren't the solid things just so fascinating? One shape, and they gotta go around looking like that.
Oh, yes. I can't even begin to imagine. I mean, they even wear these suits of armor that even further constrict their shape.
Yes, there's even some of them that seem to be sloshing around in goop.
Oh, yes. Like, I believe... perhaps it's your friend you entered with, and then there's Captain Lysandra as well. And he kind of gestures over to the Nautilid at the window.
They're quite interesting. So, what sort of timeline do you have for your visit here?
Oh, I'm just here for another few days. I've been studying the cause and effects of the most recent goblinoid faction wars. And really, this just coincides so well. I'm kind of hoping the professor's invention, should it meet the claims he makes, could make the war zone, kind of pockmarked as it is by dead magic zones, more habitable, and thus perhaps bring a lasting peace between the goblinoid factions.
Ah, yes, the goblinoid wars. How exactly did those get started?
Oh, that's way too long of a story for now. The professor's going to be on probably any minute. Plus, we've got to talk or pay attention to all these other interesting characters in here. Could you perhaps tell me about your companions? I seem to have notes on almost everyone here, except them. They're new to me.
Ah, well, my trusty crew is just getting here to pick up a new job, you know? Things here and there. We have some...
A job, you say? What type of job do you have?
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, client confidentiality. I'm not at liberty to share.
Oh, well, it's such a interesting group of people here. I can only imagine. I can only imagine the other confidential things that, well, I suppose they're not so confidential now anymore. What with the Galactic Bank being here, the, and he kind of lowers his breath, the alleged firm being here with the Galactic Bank. I can't believe they're seen in public together. You've got Dr. Kane over there, seemingly taking all the locals' money and kind of looking over, seeing Jeff playing cards now. Perhaps your companion as well. She's awfully good. You might recommend he not bet so much money. And then, of course, Sir Helios. What a renowned figure to be protecting us all in this fine establishment, which, of course, you see is not a fine establishment. And you've also got Tiberius Vinter protecting the Galactic Bank, one of the most famous and honestly expensive mercenaries I've ever seen in, or heard about Galaxy. It's just this tiny little port has so much going on that it's just, what luck, what chances are to have brought us all here together. Even the elves have sent High Oracle Thessalia. What, this must be such an amazing presentation we're about to see. And he just is like visibly excited. His goo is undulating.
Oh, yes. Thing, one right? of a kind events bring all the verse together. Yes, yes, indeed.
Let's see. Do, if you can do a perception check.
While he's doing that, it was the bank, and then what was the other?
The firm.
The firm.
Which is basically like Galactic Assassins. They're like assassins for hire.
It's kind of like a space mafia. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think space mafia is a better idea. Yeah.
I got a 10.
10. You're drawn back to the grenade belts that he has strapped across him, like basically a double bandolier of grenades. Even with a 10, you're fairly confident those are live grenades he has on his chest.
Interesting assortment of things for a casual observer of science.
Oh, these grenade belts, yes. I purchased these grenade belts in Port Nomad just down the street, actually. I thought it would make the business and cultural leaders here see me as a figure worthy of respect.
I see.
If if I'm sitting near Gogglefogger, how far away is this conversation happening? Is this on the other side of the bar?
No, it's probably 15, 20 feet. So you would see him wearing these from a distance. You wouldn't be able to really hear what's going on. Okay. But you would be able to see F talking to Ember.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to let you enjoy the presentation, and I hope it's as thrilling as the anticipation has been.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm so excited. Can't wait. Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to make my way towards one of the bigger characters.
Okay.
I don't know if the Ganon droid or the giant is closer to me.
The giant would, well, yeah, Cog would be closest.
Okay, I'm going to make my way towards Cog.
Okay. Icarus, what are you doing?
I'm going to make my way towards the Nautilid staring out of the window.
Oh, okay.
And I'll try not to make too much noise as I make my way across the bar in my hulking metal suit.
I was going to say, how are you going to do that, dude?
I mean, it's a fairly noisy bar. There's a lot going on. As long as you're like ginger about it, it's not stomping around. As you approach, it's easy to see that the hulking fish-like Nautilid looking out through the star window appears distracted. She wears an imposing metal suit that is reminiscent of ancient diving gear filled with lightly glowing blue liquid. Her suit is well-worn and her leather boots have thinning soles. As you observe her, she reaches up a hand to slowly wipe at a large stain on the dirty window, but manages to do little more than further smudge and grease it into the fiberglass. And then are you going up to, like, speak with her?
Yeah, I'll approach her and say, greetings, fellow Nautilid.
It almost takes a moment, and she kind of looks up surprised, and then doubly surprised, first of all, that somebody is talking to her, secondly, that there's a fellow Nautilid standing there. You can immediately tell is anxious looking around. Wow, I can't believe another Nautilid. What brings you here? Are you here for the professor's speech as well?
No, I'm here for work. My vocation has brought me here. I came to talk of our search. I've been away from our kind for much time. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to distract you.
No need to apologize. I'm sorry. I've been just so on edge lately, especially with this whole announcement. I'm actually glad to see you here. This announcement from the professor, it could mean such wondrous things. It could mean that we could search the dead magic zones and potentially find a homeworld that could take us. It's truly a remarkable if it's actually true. To be honest, I'm a little worried though about the other factions gathered here. The Galactic Bank or others, I mean, I'm sure don't have a good interest in this. I can only imagine that they would seek to profit from it somehow or perhaps hoard that technology. I just can't imagine them taking that power. I can't see that happening. If you want to make a charisma, actually, we'll just do like a persuasion check.
That is a 3 plus 3.
Ah. Okay. She goes on to, in a whisper, say, the Galactic Bank being here, obviously it's not good. There's clearly some sort of criminal tie to them. I don't want to speak out of hand about specifics. I could be wrong. But the Galactic Bank, we owed money to them from one of our fleets back in the day. And because we couldn't pay our debts, a mercenary fleet that I believe was operated by the firm, attacked and destroyed several of our ships, including my sister's. I can't prove it was the Galactic Bank. I've never been able to, but seeing them here just sets me on edge, unfortunately. And apologies that I've, you know, again, seemed so kind of distracted.
I understand. Such an atrocity like that is hard to swallow. So few of us left.
She goes on and says, apologies, but if you don't mind it, I would like to be alone and collect myself before the presentation starts. I want to make sure I don't react out of hand or anything.
I understand. And I'll head up to the bar.
Okay. Friendzone. I'm not sure how that works with suits like that. Okay, anyways. So you go over and join Cog and F now at the bar. At the mostly empty bar top, the smell of stale alcohol becomes abundant. Curious and sticky bottles line the back wall, reflected in an infinite number of times by two angled mirrors. Large display shows the prices for beverages and credits, translated in a variety of languages. The cocktail of the day is the prototype. A few stools down from you at the corner of the bar is Sir Helio Horus, the chief of security in Port Nomad, and a figure you met briefly when you first arrived at the station, as mentioned earlier. Helio Horus is a Navia Ra wearing red platinum armor and a half helm. He watches the room dutifully, his proud features showing a colorful plumage that partly hides a few old scars on his feathered face. At his side hangs a disabled energy longsword. At the other end of the bar, you see a little more clearly now, is a matronly elven woman. She is dressed more audaciously than anyone in the room, wearing an electric pink gown accented by strange, sharp angles that match her long, hot pink mohawk. She is sipping on a brilliant blue fizzing cocktail and smiling knowingly at the three of you.
I turn to Ganon Droid and... I'm sorry, Keen, I've got your character's name.
Icarus.
Icarus. And I goes, I don't mean to be insensitive, but do you guys drink?
Yes.
I wasn't sure with your type if you guys were able to, and so I hold up the drinks. I'm like, if you do, this is mighty tasty. And then I turn to look at the high elf, and I give her like a cheers and say, thanks for the recommendation.
You kind of see like a twinkle, an actual smile kind of cross her face. She raises her glass. Actually, at that, Sir Helio Horus comes over as well, and rings over to the bartender and says, their drinks are on me. They're here tonight in good faith protecting the professor. They could do with a drink before the show begins, just in case to, you know, steady the nerves. He is quickly served. The bartender quickly disregards any orders you've noticed that he's been taking, and immediately pours drinks for the three of you and Sir Helio Horus. A green concoction with swirls of gold dust sifting through its liquid. Smells of flowers, tastes rather tart, and is quite strong. Who's drinking it?
I'm drinking the blue one.
Okay, you're going to stick with the blue one. Okay.
Well, maybe once I finish, I'll switch over.
I'll definitely get me some of that. Looks good.
Okay.
I'm going to offer, kind of push it towards Google Boy and just be like, sir.
Okay. Let's see.
And I will wait until the bartender isn't looking and pass my drink to Cog.
Okay, perfect. Helio, I just keep saying his full name, Sir Helio Horus, chuckles a little bit and he says, understandable. It's probably not best to have too many. Well, maybe for you it's all right looking at Krog. But it's good to be sharp. Can't ever quite know what's about to happen here.
What's the deal? with grenade chest over here. Are you sure you're not a threat? My master won't let me kick him out of this place.
He looks over. Believe that's what's his name? Well, it's a symbol. I'm not very good. Ember, I believe it is. And he kind of looks to F immediately. And I mean no offense. To be honest, it's a little disconcerting that you can change your shape, especially if you have flowing clothes like he does. You could kind of take on different appearances and maybe not be recognized, which obviously my line of work is not the best for me. Not to mention the grenade belt he has. He seems rather set on having it. I don't necessarily think he's a threat, but with all the goblinoid wars and, oh my god, he told me all about them and their history and how they started and everything. It was, he just kind of takes a breath. Well, I don't think he would be a threat. It could be possible he was hired by the goblinoids to perhaps witness his presentation or learn more about it. Obviously, their kind is not looked favorably upon, so perhaps he's acting as an intermediary of sorts.
Ganon just says, well, it's your mortal lives, and just kind of and takes the drink back and just slams it.
He laughs and actually slaps you on the back. Oh, that's a pretty good one. If that little thing, and he looks at Eth, I'm sorry. Again, no offense. If he could take me on, then I wouldn't be doing my job very well as chief of security here. He kind of like taps on his long sword that's deactivated, and you do notice a shield buckler, blanking on the name, that's on his bracer as well. So he is very well equipped. He definitely, I'm sure you are confident he is good in a fight, and is very confident, although who knows, perhaps overconfident.
It's okay. The younger beings sometimes have a different perspective on things. I think it comes from not staring into the blank void so much at the maw.
Well, that is fair. I will give you that. I know nothing of that.
I'm sure it's one of many things which you have some curiosity.
Yes, it's been some time since I've traveled around outside of Port Nomad. I once was in the Order of the Sepulchre Knights, and still maintain my duties, but in a more, I will say, reserved capacity, helping protect the station. And thankfully, for the professor coming here, giving me a little more status and being able to protect such an important announcement.
And do we have any other unregistered guests on the premises who are somewhat over-encumbered with explosives?
He looks around the room, not quite getting the entire joke, but
Ganon perks up and starts scanning. Did we miss something?
No, I don't believe anyone else. Well, we've got Cyrodiil Blackforge over there. He's a local. I wouldn't be too worried about him. He's pretty much just a regular, but he does tend to know people that have traveled from in and out of this. Used to be a famous shipwright, actually. Suffered a few injury a few years ago, unfortunately, that basically leaves him in this bar all the time. So we've had to throw him out more than a few times for being a little too loud, drunk, and disorderly, we'll say. But provided we don't rile him up or he doesn't lose too much money, I'm sure we'll be fine.
Alrighty, well, it seems to me that we have a overabundance of caution. That is always good when trying to keep you less squishy things from going splat.
Well, you folks enjoy your drinks. I'm sure the professor will be starting here in not too long, but best of luck. And he kind of walks away from the bar and towards the door. So now he's basically almost acting like a bouncer at the door, checking people as they come in, and watching everybody inside.
I'm going to turn to the Ganon droid and be like, so what is your resistance to explosives if there's a malfunction in the front row?
It would be quite destructive, which would make me unhappy.
Your well-being is less important than if things can penetrate your metal exterior.
I guess I'm just used to being around large amounts of explosives laying about. It must not bother me so much as it bothers the rest of you.
Good to know.
Okay, let's see. Switching back to Jeff. And I guess we would say Tarius. So, Jeff, you've learned that Carmen is a doctor, seems very pleasant and cheerful, starkly opposed to Cyrodiil. You guys have been kind of trading hands back and forth with Cyrodiil.
Cyrodiil being the dwarf.
Yes.
That's accompanying her.
Yep. Right. Cyrodiil Blackforge. He is losing fairly handedly, but between you and Carmen, you are actually breaking fairly even, which she'll take. But if you guys can, both of you, make a wisdom saving throw.
15 plus 5, 20.
Jeez.
I'm a cleric.
Woo. Shit. 3 plus 1. 4.
Okay. The scene for who failed the saving throw. So, Jeff, the metal panels overhead rattle for a moment, and a few flakes of rust fall to the gambling table. Suddenly, Carmen spills her drink over her dress and scatters playing cards everywhere, while Cyrodiil draws a blaster and levels it across the bar. Now, the rest of you have seen that you didn't see the metal panels overhead or the few flakes of rust or anything like that. But you did hear Carmen kind of yell out, spilling her drink, and you do see Cyrodiil drawing a blaster, leveling it across the bar. For Tarius, though, small flakes tumble down from a rusting panel in the ceiling above the gambling table, causing Cyrodiil and Carmen to look up simultaneously in surprise. With a crash and a clang, a small foot-length rodent with long blue-gray fur burst out of the panel from above and lands with a thud onto the tabletop. Carmen lets out a high-pitched scream as the creature rolls up onto its feet, its mouth full of what looks like a small circuit board. It scampers away, spilling Carmen's drink all over her red dress and scattering playing cards everywhere. When the creature hits the floor, it turns sharply and begins to run straight for Professor Oren. At the same time, Cyrodiil draws the strange pistol from his hip and grits his teeth. Let's see, and it would only be Tarius if you can make a nature check.
Oh no, here we go. 11.
Okay, you recognize the creature as a Thwurl, an innately psionic rodent that commonly infests ships, cities, and colonies all around the verse.
Okay,
you can roll initiative. Just you right now.
Okay. I really don't like being plus two. Not good. 6 plus 2, 8.
Okay.
Can the rest of us make a roll to recognize that a rodent is a rodent and roll in it?
You don't know there's a rodent yet. You haven't seen the rodent. So you just saw Cyrodiil stand up and raise a blaster. So we're going to basically do actually everybody can roll initiative, just kind of prep those. We're going to just do a kind of initiation round though, with Cyrodiil, Carmen, the Thwurl, and Tarius. Okay, here we go. My first roll tonight. Exciting. Cyrodiil, goes first and shoots a blaster. Again, Tarius is the only one that sees he is shooting at a Thwirl. The rest of you see him shooting across the gambling table towards Professor Oren. Not quite at him, but fairly close stage. And he misses. So he shoots a tabletop about 10 feet away from the professor. A few old drinks that were left there kind of shatter, and the tabletop is kind of singed as you hear him cry out, "Damn it, not again!" Carmen goes next. She shrieks, and after what's happened, sees the gun, naturally will duck down behind the table to avoid the gunfire. And now it is Tarius's turn.
Tarius is going to quickly but very like calmly and assertively stands up. He drops his data pad. He raises his hand at the rodent, and I'm going to cast Guiding Bolt. So I need to make a ranged spell attack. I got plus five. 18 plus five. I'm assuming that hits.
Yes, that does.
All right. It is 46 radiant damage. All right, 1, 2.
Jeez.
12, 14. 14 points of damage. And then the next attack made against the creature before the end of my next turn has advantage. I would also like to... Oh, no, that was my action. Yeah, I'm going to... Nope, okay. I'm going to use my bonus action to pop my shield, and that'll be it.
Okay, yeah, you raise your hand and shoot a guiding bolt at this small rodent, and poof, you just see fur kind of explode out of nowhere. Well, seemingly nowhere for the rest of you. You were quite happy with the shot as you just obliterate it, just handedly. You all notice a lot of action kind of happening immediately. So the rest of you are suddenly alert. You are watching Serdin fire a shot, Carmen spilling a drink, cards going everywhere, screaming, ducking under the table. You see Tarius quickly react and just fire a bolt. And then suddenly there's a poof of fur from kind of beyond the tables that you're seeing. You see Tiberius Vinter quickly stand in front of the booth with the halflings and raise a weapon in kind of a guard stance there. You see Lysandra reach for her rocket hammer. You see the elven woman, who I believe a couple of you know as High Oracle Thessalia, doesn't react at all. Actually just sits there and kind of chuckles to herself. For a second, Carmen, who, you know, Jeff, you're sitting at, we're sitting at the table with her. She kind of collects herself, and gives a smile to you, says, "Welcome to Port Nomad. And if you would excuse me, I had best go change." Once Carmen steps out of the room, you hear heavy boots stomping towards the bar and Sirden's grumbling complaints. "Back in my day, I had to work for hours and hours to keep those damn Thwirls off my docks. They're a nightmare, chewing things they shouldn't, crawling up into your clothes, not to mention some of them read your thoughts. I know where you set your traps, blasted space rats." And one of the bartenders comes over to clean up the mess at the gaming table. But the rest of the patrons don't seem too interested in sitting down or kind of easing up at all. Everybody's seeming on very high alert.
So Tarius is kind of, he fires off the shot. It's quiet in the bar as everybody kind of like figures out what happens. There's a beat, and then he kind of his helmet straight at Gogglefugger.
"Are you unharmed?"
Oh yes. It's fine. It's nothing. I don't actually quite know what happened, but I seem fine. I have to go get ready for the presentation. But thank you. So far, so good. He gives you a thumbs up and drops some papers. Hurriedly picks the papers up and goes up towards the stage. You can tell he's kind of like preparing himself to kind of start the speech soon.
Okay. Still standing, hand outstretched, hand down. Are you okay? And then before he sits down, just the slightest turn of his visor over to the Galactic Bank booth. And then he sits back down and picks his data pad back up.
What is everybody else doing? It's just been a tense moment. A small rodent has been killed.
So I rolled really poorly. I rolled a 1 on my initiative. I know we're not doing initiative, but so I'm going to say that I was like kind of bottoming up when it happened. And then everything happened. I kind of like spit up and you know everyone's jumping to help their whoever they're protecting, and I'm just kind of like trying to figure out what's going on. And then after Kirillak's character
Arius
says, you know, to them, and he goes to the stage, I'm gonna follow him and get a seat closer, like in front of the stage or somewhere near to protect him better.
Actually, one thing you do notice kind of in the midst of that, as you're, you know, slamming one back and you kind of are taken aback by the, you know, blaster fire and everything like that, you spill your drink and it actually goes over. It would have hit the elven woman sitting at the bar, but she kind of just shifts enough right before it happens and it just kind of sails past her. And then she just continues to kind of look on, smiling.
I'm just gonna stand up and go, "What the hell's going on?" But what I'm really, trying to focus on is who's staring at who, who's, like, you know, who's watching whose hands. Do I notice anything?
That's awesome. Roll persuasion or perception. Excuse me. Look at that, Jeff coming out with the perceptions.
That's a whopping 7. For me, yep.
You were fairly fixated on Carmen, so you didn't see a whole lot. You kind of stammered when she, you know, excused herself and stuff like that. You have a sense that everybody's kind of staring at each other. Everybody's tense. Nobody seems to trust one another. It's just that. That feeling you get almost before a battle, you know, it's not quite the same thing, but it's just that tension's palpable.
Can I also just kind of look around real quick, or at least can I make another perception check on the Galactic Bank guys and Tiberius? Okay, I'm going to, as quietly as I can, cast Guidance on myself and give myself advantage on the roll.
Nice.
13 and a 12. So 13 plus 5, 18.
Okay. You see Tiberius being a dutiful guard. Clearly, nerves of steel, the immediate reaction and kind of just almost automatic gaze and assessment of the situation. He just seems purely on guard. He's not clearly worried or anything like that. He's not nervous at all, but he is doing his job. He is clearly a professional. Kiri and Kenny, you see pretty much almost under the table. They're like looking up above the table to see if anything is going on. They look terrified, not a threat really at all. I mean, in your opinion, you're seeing them as kind of almost like bystanders in this event. And then you see the other halfling wearing the white suit, the more, you'd say, intimidating one. Seems almost like a deadly stillness. He has a blaster all of a sudden. You clearly see that you hadn't noticed before. He has it ready. He is not doesn't look afraid or anything, maybe a little worried, but not quite the consummate professional that Tiberius is, but clearly a lot more prepared than the other halfling, the brother and sister.
So with my background, do I recognize this halfling at all?
Roll a
History check or something?
Yeah, history's fine.
Okay. I'm gonna cheese it again. 16 and 18. So it's just a straight roll, 18.
Okay. Yeah, I would say you've heard of him. You've never had any dealings with him or anything like that. But his name is Darkstar Killigob. You know he prefers to be called Mr. Killigob, and is allegedly part of the firm. So it is a bit odd that he's
allegedly
openly sitting with the Galactic Bank, but you do know they've had dealings from at least your research and beliefs. So clearly Killigob is the more menacing of the three, and your guess is more of a maybe protection or enforcement with the Galactic Bank representatives.
Okay, so yeah, so the two jumpy halflings, the twins, Kiri and Kenny, look like they're with the Galactic Bank, and then this Darkstar Killigob, excuse me, I know that he has tie or allegedly has ties to the firm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Dope. Yeah, he's my number one priority here.
Okay. Anything All right. else?
Might Let's get to this presentation.
Okay. Who has the highest technology skill? It's a little more of a metagame question here, but I'm going to assume it's Jeff.
I got a 5 spot on it.
Ooh, okay.
I've got a +0.
Jeff, what's your technology? Oh, I'd be having mic problems.
You mean to tell me a living piece of machinery has a tech score of 0?
Yeah, I also have 5.
Okay. So the professor actually walks up to the both of you after you guys have kind of collected yourselves, well, mainly Jeff, at the table. I hate to bother you before this momentous occasion, but the holo screen's not working. Could you help me figure out how to fix that?
I guess the contract did say and all other services requested. So,
Well, yes, it did.
I'll take care of it.
Well, thank you. And he just kind of points at it more so, and then kind of hurries up to the stage, and you see him again, kind of just feverishly going through his notes. Okay, so you are going up to the holo projector. Make a technology check.
10.
You
wait. Hold on. Wait a second. So here's something cool about my exoskeleton: is it also comes with an AI companion that. So it think of it like a.
Jarvis.
Reference.
It's like references. It's like Cortana. So,
yeah. From but yes, that's Halo. Exactly what Cortana I was thinking
from
of.
Windows.
I'm thinking Jeff's version is closer to Clippy.
So the description says that it can solve any math or logic problem and make an int check that results. So I get to treat it as a 10 or
math or logic problem. That's not going to fly here.
Okay.
But with your technology prowess, you could try turning it on or turning it off and turning it on again.
Yeah.
I just
how many rolls
say that
do
I
need to make to flip a switch?
Oh, no, you're good. You just do that. And
awesome.
Yeah, the screen Fingers recalibrates crossed. And works correctly.
That's how you like do it, guys. I would like to turn it back off. My mind.
Oh, really?
From
okay.
Range.
It's turning on. You know that the professor has planned to broadcast this presentation to the verse via various social media channels.
Ooh.
Twitter.
I take it back.
At... Squad rules. Okay, you are turning it off again or no?
No, I'll just watch and see if you can figure it out. And then if you got it to work, then I'll just kind of chuckle.
Okay. Yeah, it seems to be working. The professor kind of sees the actual projector turn on, runs over. Why, thank you so much. I thought this was going to be a disaster already. I mean, geez, threatened my life. But now this would have been even worse. Don't worry, I'll have a great bonus for you once we leave Port Nomad safely. Okay.
Ganon Droid would like to roll his mechanical eyes as hard as possible.
They fall out.
Can we just appreciate the fact that the guy who invented a groundbreaking dark matter engine that solves a problem the universe has been dealing with for hundreds of years about warping into non-magic zones can't figure out the projector?
It's
very like post-grad professor, like super super intelligent, can't figure out the projector.
They probably have shitty audio on their hologram calls too.
Definitely.
They leave the mouse cursor in front of their space YouTube videos.
They share
that every
screen.
Day.
The professor takes a kind of deep breath. Kind of stays himself, and he kind of looks around the room, kind of making eye contact with you guys, and kind of waves you all forward. The moment is at hand. I'm about to begin my presentation, so please, whatever you need to do during this, please don't make any distractions or anything, of course, but this is your moment to shine. Everybody make an insight check.
6.
I got to 20.
Okay.
19 for me.
So anybody that got 10. A 13 or higher, notice that while the professor seems very excited rather than nervous, there's something sad in his eye. In his eyes. Any last comments to the professor, or are you guys going to take your positions?
Is it too late to touch him? It sounded so weird.
Go right ahead.
I'd like to give him a pat on the back and cast Enhance Ability.
Okay.
And give him Bear's Endurance so he has advantage on Constitution checks. I don't want my boy to go out there and poop his pants.
Oh my gosh.
How long does that last for?
Guy. Up to an hour.
Oh, dope.
Wow. Okay. The professor smiles up at you. Oh, Grant Ganon Droid, thank you so much for your well wishes. I look forward to talking with you all after the presentation, I hope. And he...
Shit. He also gets 8 temporary hit points.
Damn. Okay.
Can I position myself while he's giving his presentation so that I can be within touch range of him?
No, he will be up on stage.
He will be up on stage. All right, then I'd like to get as close as possible without being conspicuous.
And actually, I know we're almost out of time, but we are going to... You're all going to roll initiative, and we're going to do this kind of an initiative order.
Interesting.
You guys can kind of say where you're at around the Starsville bar, who you're watching, all that stuff. But we will do it in kind of an order set. So, initiatives. Tarius, what's your initiative?
Another 8. Just S&D on these initiative rules.
Solid 8s. Ganon Droid.
I got a 7.
7. Solid so far. Jeff.
So I have a 23.
Oh, fuck off.
So I got 19, my initial, or sorry, 22. Sorry. Initiatives plus 3 with the 19.
Sorry.
And I just don't know what I'm going to do.
Okay. Krog.
10.
Icarus.
17.
17.
And nice.
F.
A quick little fishy.
16.
16. Okay. So just for reference, the order will be Jeff, Icarus, Eth, Krog, Tarius, Ganondroid.
Power bottom.
That
we're gonna have to cut that
relationship with the professor.
Oh, dude.
Okay. Let's see. So, you guys are. We'll see your position. I'll kind of ask where you guys are in a second. But the diminutive professor takes to the stage wearing a mechanical device strapped over his shoulders like a backpack. Mumbling absentmindedly to himself, he sets a data tablet down on the table alongside a number of odd-looking gadgets and then fiddles with his rolled-up shirt sleeves. One of his gnomish assistants activates a small drone camera, which flies towards him with a hydraulic whoosh that gives him a bit of a start. After a moment, he presses his hand to his heart with relief and smiles for the camera. All the others in the Star Swirl bar begin to gather for the speech, taking their seats. Only the bartenders and Sir Helio Horace do not take a seat in front of the stage, instead lingering back at the bar. The lights in the room dim and turn purple, with a brighter spotlight lingering on Professor Oren and the stage. Okay, let's see. Jeff, where are you and what are you doing? Basically, you can...
I was still at the table with the hot chick and the dwarf.
Okay, so you're right at the gambling table. Right. So you kind of, after speaking with the professor, go back, you fix the holo projector, you go back to the gambling table. They're gone. They're up in the seats now. So everybody's in the seats outside of Sir Helio Horace and apologies, I'm blanking on who else it was.
At the bar?
Yeah, just the bartenders. The bartenders and Sir Helio Horace are the only guests that, besides you guys, they're not in the front seats.
So the elven woman went and took her seat?
Correct.
High Oracle, Thessalia.
Thessalia, yep.
Thessalia, and then Cog and Icarus were at the bar.
Yep. So,
okay.
So during your turn, you can basically take a look at, we'll say, one of the NPCs and kind of watch what they're doing or make a check if you want or anything else like that.
So what I would like to do is discreetly detach my drones from my exoskeleton and just have them ready to address an existential threat that would compromise my completion of the contract.
Okay. Fair enough.
Way to be professional about
wow,
it.
Wow, yeah, man.
Covering all his bases.
Jeff over here. See,
a real Icarus. Personable guy.
I'm going to position myself at the rear of the room so I can observe both the presentation and the other guests.
Okay. Is there any guest in particular you're kind of keeping an eye on?
No.
Okay. Let's see. Next up is F.
Oh. My bad.
Oh, good.
Sorry.
So you are, you know, the professor is about to start. You can take kind of a place wherever you want in the Star School bar. And is there anybody in particular you're kind of keeping an eye on?
Yeah, the mercenary guy who is a hired gun for money seems to be the most suspicious to me, I think.
Okay, so Tiberius, make an insight check.
Insight. 18.
Very nice. So Tiberius is sitting on one end of the front row next to Darkstar. That is the halfling in the white suit. While you're watching him, he lifts his hand to shield his eyes and turns to look around the dim room. You notice from his body language that he's also keeping an eye on the others gathered, watching for suspicious or threatening activity. So he is very much on high alert like you are. Krog, what are you doing?
So once I see that the cleric is going to be like close to the stage, I'm going to be on like the other side of Icarus, like in the back, watching.
Okay.
So I'm assuming it'd be like me, Icarus, and then what's the Aviraz name? So like Aviraz by the bar.
Yep.
Icarus might be in one side, and I'll kind of be another. Just we're all in the back watching people.
Okay. Anybody in particular you're keeping an eye out for?
The elf, the lady elf.
Okay. So hi, Oracle Thessalia. Thessalia has taken a seat in the back row, which is filled up with several latecomers to the presentation that the PCs have not yet met. She seems serene, and watching her, she turns to smile strangely at you, directly at you. She also begins to quietly mouth a series of words. See, what language do you speak? Elvish by chance?
I do not. Common and Orc.
Okay. Partway as the speech is starting, you see her quietly mouthing a series of words that you cannot make out.
To me or to someone else? Like, is she facing? You said she turned around and smiled at me.
She turned around, smiled at you, and then turned back, and you can see her just quietly moving her mouth.
Okay. Is there a is it all, like she's doing it for a while?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll see if I can like try and mimic the mouth or something. If it's just a couple words, but
gotcha. No, yeah, it's kind of hard to tell from your angle exactly what she's saying, and you can kind of gather it's not a language you really recognize.
Gotcha. It's just nonsense. Okay.
Tarius. What are you doing?
Tarius is, he's kind of in the front, kind of position himself to, let's say, like the far side of the presentation so that I don't have my back. Like I'm on the outside. I think I want to be within like a single movement of the professor. And then kind of have my back so that there's no one behind me. And okay. Just kind of trying to watch the presentation, but also I'm keeping an eye on the oh my gosh, what is his name? The Darkstar Killigob. I want to see what he's doing.
Okay. Let's see. He is sitting in the front row, between Kiri and then Tiberius. You see him remove his dark suit jacket. Roll an investigation.
That's very good. Nope. Straight D20.
Actually, never mind. Because you already saw his blaster, you recognize that he has since put it back into its holster, but it is right. It's like a chest holster, so it's very quickly within arm's reach, even in a seated position.
Okay. Does he look like is he watching the presentation? Is he looking around?
He is very much focused on the presentation.
Okay. Okay.
And last but not least, Ganondroid.
How tall is the stage? Is it like a couple feet or is it like...
Yeah, it's about like 4 feet high. So there's a few little steps on each side of the stage to go up to.
I would like to take a chair and put it at the front of the stage just below and then face the audience.
Okay. Yep. So you just kind of take one of
like
the
a bodyguard, thing like a, yeah, like a bodyguard at like a concert, you know, just kind of standing there with the arms crossed. It's like looking at everything, but the
perfect. Anybody you're keeping an eye on?
I think I'm going to keep an eye, a special close eye on the firm. So my mobster friends.
Okay. So yeah, you kind of see Darkstar, Killigob, and Tiberius. Similar to the others, you can tell Tiberius is very much alert. He's similar to you as far as he's clearly there to do a job, and he is watching out for potential threats, it appears. And the Darkstar Killigob, or Mr. Killigob, as they say, you see him also remove his jacket, and you're a little further away and haven't seen it yet. Roll an investigation, and depending on what you get, we'll see if you recognize he has a blaster as well.
I got a 7.
You do not. You see him put his jacket over the chair behind him. You do see kind of like straps, but you don't see any weapons or anything like that. He is intently focused on the professor, though.
Okay. On them anyways.
Sorry, what was that?
I said I'm going to keep an eye on them anyways.
Perfect. Okay. Let's see. The professor looks up from the table and gives a nod to the audience and then pushes a button on one of the small devices in front of him. There's an awkward pause when nothing happens, save for a soft whirring sound. The audience stirs anxiously while they wait. Then, all at once, there's a burst of light as the device projects a massive star map, filling the room with its breathtaking view of the verse. A few members of the audience gasp as Professor Oren begins speaking in a bright tone. As is the custom, he begins his presentation with a terrible joke and a joyful wag of his eyebrows. All of the known verse, so beautiful that it makes the goggles fog.
Ugh.
A few moments of awkward silence, Professor Oren Talfo Gogglefogger coughs into the back of his hand, wipes some sweat from his brow, and continues. Our civilization have redefined the word impossible for millions of years. And yet, until now, only gnomish technology, my people's technology, could traverse the dead magic zones. While the government on Nibelian would never agree with my stance, it is my firm belief that all races and all civilizations deserve the chance to access the many worlds within these dead magic zones. And that is precisely why I have created the Talfo Matrix, a technology that projects a field allowing magic in the zones where magic has always been said to be an impossibility. At this, there's kind of a mixed response. There are several people clapping loudly, even a kind of a couple cheers from the back rows, but quite a few are still just watching, remaining silent. All of the people you guys are, you know, keeping a keen eye on at this point are sitting there silently, including Thessalia, who is silent, but still mouthing things. She's not applauding or anything like that.
Do I know if she, is she mouthing things like in time with how with his speech, or just is it different?
No, it's different. It's just kind of a continuous kind of mouthing. See, during the applause, the dwarf Cyrodiil Blackforge stands up from his seat in the back row and loudly boos the professor. Captain Lysandra stomps over towards Cyrodiil to try to force him back down into his seat. There's a moment of shoving between the two of them as Sir Helio Horus starts making his way towards them. Now we are going to do one more kind of round here and allow you guys to each act, or if you want, still kind of focus on the same character or other characters. So first up is Jeff. So you kind of see the little kind of scuffle in the back with Cyrodiil, who is booed, and Lysandra, who clearly is enjoying the presentation, you would assume, goes over to, you know, kind of silence him, and there's kind of some shuffling as you see Sir Helios headed towards them.
So based on what I've seen tonight, just gonna go ahead and just be real cautious and go ahead and have his medical droid sneak along the perimeter and get next to the professor, and just be prepared for some to pop off. Take care of it.
Okay. Let's see, Icarus.
I've just sort of been watching the crowd, so when I see the commotion around Cyrodiil, I'm gonna be keeping my eye on him and just sort of take a more cautious stance, I suppose.
Okay. Keeping an eye on anybody or shouting
just
to them
him.
Or anything?
No, I'm just getting ready. I'm not going to take any action yet.
Okay. Let's see. F.
How far away is the elf that's mumbling?
You do not know that she is mumbling. You haven't noticed that yet. But she is in the back row.
Okay. So before I was watching the mercenary scan the room. Has he lingered or fixated on anyone in particular?
No, not really. As this kind of little spat between Lysander and Cerdan peaked up, you could tell there was kind of a held interest there for a moment or two. But then he actually went back to more so ignoring them and focusing on everybody else during this moment of confusion.
And is there anyone in the crowd who doesn't seem to be paying particular attention to the presentation?
Well, right now, it's a lot of turned heads and kind of focusing on this. The argument is kind of heated up as Sir Helios has gotten over to them. You kind of just hear bits and pieces of them as they're both kind of talking over each other. Cyrodiil claiming that, you know, the technology is all a lie. It's, you know, no different than anything else that's been promised. Lysandra is saying this is a marvel and he should be applauded and this could, you know, bring peace and find their homeworld. And she's obviously very passionate about this from the other perspective. It's just kind of split focus between the professor and this kind of scuffle.
Okay. I guess I'm just going to keep an eye on the room and maybe move closer to the stage.
Okay.
Just so that I'm in a position to, see stuff if anything gets aggressive.
Okay, sounds good. Let's see. Next we've got Krog.
So I'm going to stay in the back. And once I can't make out which she's muttering, I'm going to search my attention over to the Meeboid and see what he's doing.
So you...
The one with the bombs.
Yes.
Or the grenades. Yeah.
So you kind of take a closer look at Ember. You see Sir Helio going over there, and you're fairly confident he's going to handle it. Maybe not in the most diplomatic way, but he'll handle it. The Amoeboid is sitting in the same place they have since your original arrival in the front row. In the dark room, he kind of glows with a faint blue light. And make a perception check.
That is a 12.
Okay. You see that Ember is feverishly working on the data pad during the speech so far. When the scuffle kind of breaks up, he kind of sets it down and looks back.
Annoyed.
Annoyed that this is being interrupted, this momentous occasion, but then goes back to feverishly typing on his data pad.
But no, like twitching or itching towards like the grenades or anything? Or...
Nope, not that you can see. Let's see, Tarius.
All right, I'm going to start on the Killigob.
Okay.
And so I have like specific questions. When the scuffle happened, did he react the same as everybody else, or did he like react sooner or not turn his head? Gotcha. Or like, you know what I mean?
He reacted very quickly.
Okay.
He was immediate to look over there, but it wasn't like it was preemptive or anything like that.
Okay.
But he looked over there immediately, from what you can tell, probably assessed the situation, and then went back to scanning the room for potential threats during this kind of chaos.
Do I think that he's noticed me, like...
You would assume so.
That he's noticed me, like, looking at him?
Not specifically that you are super focused on him. He definitely knows that you were watching the room and watching out.
Okay. Threats, yeah, that's okay.
He immediately, you know, you would assume with his reputation,
sure,
identified you guys all as bodyguards.
Okay. I mean, I have other stuff I want to do, but I think that's a good fair turn.
Okay. Let's see. And Ganondroid.
So I think the news from my master conflicts with, I think Ganondroid is having trouble deciding how to process the news, given that his internal, ideal power structure is much more of a monarchy or an anarchist kind of, power dynamic. So while all these calculations are happening in my brain, it's kind of put all the other processes on hold, and it's even sapping so much of my energy that some of my bodily functions start to misfire. So you can kind of see my neck, like, kind of crick a little bit, where my eyes starts to flicker. So I have no idea what the fuck's going on.
A little bit of smoke's coming out of your, you know, head. What do you mean the Triforce isn't... What, it's a political...
Yeah,
what?
It's... Essentially, my master is trying to turn the Triforce into, like, freeware. And I'm to process that information.
Okay. Let's see. The professor coughs into his microphone and speaks up, trying to regain the attention of the crowd as Sir Helios breaks up Cyrodiil and Lysandra. Please, my friends, I know that change can be frightening. I know that expanding our interstellar boundaries will bring about its own challenges. It's only by working together that we can make the best of our new future, make the most of the Talfo Matrix's potential. Give me a chance to show you how we can change dreams into reality. Professor Orin presses a button and the star map vanishes, returning the room to its previous purple glow. On the screen behind the professor, the number 20 appears in a clean white font. He pulls a lever protruding from the side of the device strapped to his back, and a cloud of fog begins to drift out of the device, rolling over the floor of the stage in a dramatic fashion. Behold! Orin exclaims, gesturing back to the hollow screen, which is now counted down to 10. The schematic blueprints to the first ever Talfo Matrix, small enough to fit into a Corvette-sized vessel. The crowd is quiet and seems confused by what they're watching. Professor turns around and his eyes go wide as he stares at the current number on the hollow screen. 4. That is not my schematics, he whispers. And then an explosion rips through the Star Swill bar.